Powerful, the Power Metal Podcast, is brought to you by us, because no one is sponsoring this.
This is great. This will be like the first time when you'll be able to understand who's talking every time.
Testing, testing, sound waves.
Dude. There's only one random white guy.
Yeah. Great. Okay, I'm going to count down, and then I will do the fucking intro.
Were you practicing today?
I was practicing. Sup, nerds. Welcome to Powerful, a power metal podcast. This is Four Gates, and I am here with the original cast, ZeldaFan355.
Hello there.
And Darko.
Hello, everyone.
And we are on episode 4. Today, we are going to talk about Christmas power metal albums.
Woo!
Yay! Whether you actually celebrate Christmas or if you are religiously unaffiliated, but still fucking love the holiday season anyway, like me, listen in, because some of these Christmas albums are surprisingly good.
There's some good stuff there.
Yeah, but first, we have some news for you. Our first news item is that Hammerfall is having their 20th anniversary.
Yeah, it looks like about 20 years ago, Hammerfall released their first album, Glory to the Brave. It's probably still their best album. But
nice.
Hammerfall, they've been around for a good long while, 20 years, released a lot of albums. And Hammerfall is one of those bands that's always very, we'll call them consistent. They haven't really changed their style much. Consistently fine.
Consistently the same. That's yeah. Nice.
We'll call them reliable. How about that?
Good old reliable Hammerfall.
Reliable old Hammerfall. I hear they put on a good live show. I missed them last year, unfortunately.
Yeah, they're actually coming by Southern California for a one-off show. I don't remember what month it is, but it's coming up.
They are doing another tour, at least the United States, next year. So that would be fun.
Yep.
But for this 20th anniversary, they are doing a re-release, and I believe a remaster of their original album, which I think this for some of theirs is pretty great. I really like some of the songs on it, like The Dragon Lies Bleeding, the self-titled Hammerfall, the title track of Glory to the Brave. There's some good stuff on there. I think a re-release, because the production on that first album is not great because it's, you know, old and they were new to the whole metal thing.
Yeah, and they're also releasing a 20th anniversary champagne. So if you want some Hammerfall champagne, be sure to pick some up.
You know, nothing says metal quite like bubbly, sweet drinks.
That's yeah, hardcore, you can make bro. Some metal as fuck mimosas.
Metal as fuck mimosas. Is there any metal band that has like an orange juice named after them? Because then you could really make metal mimosas.
Oh my god, then you could do like a collab, because who doesn't love endless mimosas and brunch?
That sounds delicious. I'm going to be hungry already. Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm just making you hungry.
I'm eating dinner after this podcast.
Me too. I'll try not to microwave anything until we stop recording.
Just like at the end of the last episode.
Yeah. So our second news item is that Labyrinth is releasing a live album.
I hear you're a big fan of Labyrinth.
Yeah, I'm actually Labyrinth's number 2 fan.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and in this live album by Labyrinth is a recording of their performance at the Frontiers Music Festival in Italy, and the DVD is going to be out January 28th. And in this performance, they play Return to Heaven Denied, their very iconic album from 1998 in its entirety. And this is actually one of my favorite albums. I know, huge surprise. And I am really looking forward to it. I might pick up the DVD anyway, even though I'm going to see this in real life at Prog Power. Who knows? Maybe they'll... I don't know. I think I saw some clips from that show, and like, Tiranti is a hell of a vocal performer, and I always just like love their performances. So I think this is a cool pickup if you're into live albums.
Or yeah, I'll watch it on YouTube. I don't think I'll buy a DVD of it.
Yeah.
I won't support them. I'm a bad boy.
It's okay. I mean, Yeah,
I'm going to see them at Prague Power, and I expect it to be a lot of fun then. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hope they play, like, other songs after their album playthroughs.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's just... Is it just Return to Heaven tonight, or are they going to toss a couple other random things in there?
I don't know. I've been to some other shows in which there were whole album playthroughs, and the bands always, like, played their other hit singles or, like, stuff from their most recent albums after. So
when I saw Blind Guardian play Imaginations from the Other Side, through the they did the whole album, but they opened the show with a few other their popular songs, then they did all of Imaginations, and then they closed it out with a few more popular songs.
They played a ton of other stuff out after they finished playing Imaginations.
Yeah, when I saw them, they did, and then there was Silence, Bard Song, Valhalla, and Mirror Mirror after, so.
Yeah, I saw Stradivarius play all of Visions live, and actually, like, Visions wasn't that long, and, the album playthrough itself wasn't that long, but afterwards, they played all of their hits, so.
It should be cool, huh?
Hopefully, Labyrinth will do the same thing. Yeah, I'm curious to hear if they would play stuff from Return to Heaven Denied Part 2 and even their newest album, which is kind of a weird mix. I've heard mixed reviews about it. I'm just like a desperate fangirl, so I sort of have an unfair liking towards it, even though it's not my favorites.
I was going to say, I thought you weren't as big on their newest album.
Yeah, I know. When I first heard it, I was just like, oh my God, why do you do this to me? This is why I could never be number one fan. But it's kind of grown on me. Like, I think Take On My Legacy is probably one of my favorite songs of the year. But again, I'm like super biased.
Yeah, we're not getting to favorites of the year yet. That's next time, spoilers.
Yeah, no, that's for the next, that's for our next episode. All right, so our next news item is that Stormspell Records album releases have been delayed yet again.
Now, this has been happening a lot. We've had some issues with Stormspell Records.
It's a real shame.
Yeah.
Like, we were all really, really excited to listen to our good friends at Ancient Empire. Mm-hmm. But, yep, album's not out. It's allegedly out on CD. I don't buy CDs, so I can't tell you. God damn it.
You don't buy CDs? You're like the only person ever who doesn't buy CDs. Just kidding.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know why. Is like metal like the only community that still buys CDs?
No.
I don't know. I think like dedicated hip-hop fans are also really into CDs. And I'm pretty sure there's like a large population that collects records.
Yeah. You got still. It's not like a musical genre thing. In all of the different genres and styles, you have a group of people that will buy CDs still.
Mm-hmm. It seems like everyone I talk to, like, you know, like normal people who are like normal people music, they just like, oh, why don't you just listen to everything on Spotify? Yeah, well, not everything in metal is on Spotify.
Yeah,
as we have discussed at length in the past.
That's the main reason, is because not everything is on Spotify. And also, for those of us with old cars with CD players, it's just a good way to get music in my car.
Mm. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, so this is what I know about Stormspell. So originally, a lot of the album's release dates was set to be November 30th, including Ancient Empire, which a lot of us were really excited about. But November 30th has come and went, and the albums didn't come out. And the update is that, this is according to Facebook, and you know everything on Facebook is real. On December 3rd, the CDs have been sent to their distributor, CD Baby, but there is a delayed processing time because of like Black Friday and such. But supposedly, Ancient Empire, Detest, and Raging Fates and others are already on the way to CD Baby, so we might see them in our lifetime.
In our lifetime.
In our lifetime.
It's really funny because on one of our earlier episodes, our Larry Biscuit was praising Stormspell Records for like some of the releases they've had this year. And we're like, oh, please sponsor us. And now it's like, oh, we're talking shit about them because they are fucking up their distribution.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
It sounds like it's just one guy doing it. I don't know. Can someone who knows the recording industry confirm? And can someone help this guy out?
Yeah, yeah. Like, if it's really just one dude doing all this distribution of different bands and whatever in physical form, it's like, it's insane. And it wouldn't be a surprise that he has these issues and these delays, because that's an awful lot of work to just do by yourself if that's the case.
Yeah, that's not a one-man job.
Not at all.
Yeah. All right.
So my apologies if it is just one person.
Yeah, good job. We love the bands that you are distributing for, and I'm going to buy your CDs when they come out. All right, so our next news item is Yannis Papadopoulos. Did I say his name right? Papadopoulos?
I think so.
I'm sorry, our Greek listeners, if we have any. Yannis, current Beast in Black vocalist, leaves former band War Drum. So what happened, according to Facebook, was that Yannis chose not to attend a festival in Athens in which War Drum was headlining, but instead he chose to perform with Beast in Black in Germany. Ooh,
that's
shady.
That's like when you're going to the lunch table and you got like the two groups of friends and you have to like abandon the one of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like
that wasn't me though. I didn't have friends, but
I make friends with like the popular people and then I like abandon my nerd friends. Just kidding.
The nerd friends with the better band of War Drum.
I would never do that. I love my nerd friends, and also I don't have any popular friends, so I technically can't even do that.
What about us? We're here.
You guys,
we are your popular.
We have like 30 subscribers.
Oh, yeah, you guys are my popular friends.
Look at all those subscribers.
Some nerd somewhere. Oh my god! Look at our 20 something subscribers.
All those people listening to us right now, wherever they are.
Hello, people.
Just to the sound of our voices, we are super popular.
Yes, hello, yeah. Listeners. Thank you for being our listeners.
Yeah, we really appreciate your listening and subscribing. We love you.
Smash the thumbs up button. Smash it.
Yes. In contrary, Yannis clearly does not love War Drum anymore.
Yeah.
Which is a total bummer. And then the band decided, they stated in that Facebook post that they decided to dismiss Yannis from the band because he did that. So RIP War Drum with Yannis on vocals. The band will still go on. I guess they just have to find another vocalist.
Yeah, Yannis is really great, though. That's going to be hard to live up to.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that totally bums me out because War Drum had a real strong release in 2016. It's an album called Awakening. And his vocals are like on the higher end of male vocals, but he has like a ridiculous range. And he can do the aggression thing, which really packs a punch in like power metal.
Yep.
And like War Drum is so good. There's like they do the thing that I like, which is having guitar counter melodies under like Yannis's powerful vocals instead of like lame fucking keyboards. This album kicks ass. I like it so much more than I like Beast in Black's debut.
We're gonna get into that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, and which we will talk about more later. And our next news item, also from Facebook, their eternal source of information of the internet, is that we now have Facebook evidence that Falconer is not dead.
Yes, Falconer, everyone's favorite powery, folky, pleasant metal band. They're not dead. On November 17th, they made a post to their Facebook of a laptop and a guitar.
Oh my god, a laptop and a guitar!
That's all you need. That's all you need.
And
that's
like
all you need.
Photo.
Into the lair of creation at last. The slumber is over for this time. Work has begun to make the falcon spread its wings yet once more.
That is so cheesy.
Thank you, Falconer. Falconer's pretty good. I really am fond of their debut and of Northwind.
I have only heard their first two albums, and I enjoyed it. I think the singer has a really like pleasant voice that you don't find in a lot of power metal.
Yeah, Matthias Blood, I probably said his name wrong, is really great. And Falconer's last album was Black Moon Rising in 2014. A pretty strong release. Not one of my favorites of the year. I thought it was like a touch overrated. It does really have really, really cool artwork, though, which I'm looking at right there on their Facebook page.
Awesome.
But solid release. Interesting thing I noticed when I pulled this up, it looks like they've been quiet on Facebook, like nothing since 2015. and then just come out of nowhere with, oh yeah, we're still here, we're making an album.
Yeah, this is why, like, this is even a news item, a picture of a computer and a guitar. It's like pretty cool that Falconer is confirmed existing. Now if only other bands would confirm that they exist. So some other bands that I think might be RIP are Dragonland.
Well, Dragonland said like, oh, they might be doing something.
Bullshit.
And Heavenly said they might be doing something, but yeah, it's probably all bullshit.
Yeah, I see their guitarist with fucking Amarath. Like he's not doing Dragonland shit. He's doing Amarath shit.
Yeah, so we need them to come back. And like there's other bands who are supposed to be doing it, like Fairyland is working on a new album for the last like six years or some shit.
They periodically post on Facebook, and they have like one single which was pretty cool and promising.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for Timeless Miracle to finish their like 15-year comeback here.
Yeah, a lot of people care about Timeless Miracle. I think they're extremely overrated, but sure.
Oh, I like them.
You like them, and I can't take that away from you.
You're goddamn right.
Anyway, dead bands. Who will resurrect the dead first? Let's see. So our next news item is an interesting one. Manowar announced a spoken word tour called The Blood of the Kings. Yeah. In which...
This is probably our weirdest one.
Yeah, I'm very confused right now because apparently Joey DeMaio will have a, quote, captivating one-man multimedia show, quote.
Yeah, I think just reading the news post is the best way to look at this. So it says, The Blood of the Kings spoken word tour is a rare personal look inside the exceptional career of one of the most iconic, most enduring bands in heavy metal. Where the fuck? Yeah, it's basically just, it's a history thing about the history of Manowar.
Yeah, so Blood of the Kings is named after a track in their iconic album, Kings of Metal, and I don't know what his goal is. Is it to tell the history of Manowar, like in spoken word?
I understand,
and
like
not musical.
It's like one of those behind the scenes documentaries you get on DVDs, but
like live.
Live.
But like, there's just one guy talking, and you like.
Now he probably shows pictures, I guess, because it's a multimedia experience. So he probably has this presentation showing pictures of them hanging around when they do stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, it sounds like it's just going to be him telling stories, maybe playing some music, and probably having some, like, documentary-type stuff. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's mostly in Germany, looking at these locations.
Yeah, there's, like, a bunch of locations in Germany. So if we have any German listeners, can somebody check out this this spoken word performance and report back? I'm really...
Yes, please go to this. We need a field reporter
really on
this.
I'm really curious, and I'm just, like, so confused that I'm curious.
It's still a way to go because this will be in 2019.
Oh, November 2019. This is two years out. Just realized this.
Are you
so
serious?
So far away.
Oh, wow.
So far away.
So far away.
I'm glad we had the same idea there.
You did this. You started it. Just
somebody will wait for the day when this happens. So.
Oh.
Okay, let's move on before our light source is so wasted and gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next news item is Helion Prime has a new vocalist.
Yay.
They've
been searching for a little bit with an open audition after their last singer, Kayla, was dismissed from the band or left the band.
Or something. I don't know.
They were never specific about the circumstances.
Yeah.
Anyway, they did an open audition for a new singer, and they discovered, hope I say his name right, Sozos Michael?
Yeah. Sozos Michael.
All right. And you know a little bit about him. Do you want to take that away, Darko?
Yes. So I don't know if you people know, but in the unaffiliated forum, there's been for a while a bit of a music collaboration project. It's called Eons and Throne, and it's comprised of a number of singers and guitar players and everything. I'm part of it. And when Helion Prime announced they were doing open auditions, we just encourage all the singers that we had to try it, both male and female. And Sozos was one of them, and he sent in his audition song, and he got the part.
That's really awesome.
That's really cool.
And you can check earlier work of his in his YouTube channel. He has a lot of covers from many
bands. His covers are really great.
He has power metal stuff. What I think are his best covers are some Muse songs. It's really, I think it's worth checking out, not just because I have a project with him, but I really like the way he sings, and I think he's a really good fit for Helium Prime. And now we have an upcoming song with Ion Sanfron that has him as the main singer. And if you're listening to this later in the future and the song is already out, I hope you liked it a lot. And if not, well, you'll see it soon. You'll have it on Spotify and all those places. But yeah, can't wait for the new work from Helium Prime with Soso's singing. And also, we might get a little interview with him, I hope, just to talk about what this means to him and what it entails, because it might be a bit hard, given that he's not in the US.
Oh, he's not from the US. Okay.
I think he's UK.
He's in the UK right now. Yeah.
And most of Helium Prime is in, I think some of them are in California.
Helium Prime is from Sacramento. They're from Sacramento, California.
Except for like one guy in Utah, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember when they did the audition, they said location doesn't matter. So I guess they can collaborate regardless.
Yeah, like Dragon Force. Dragon Force is the same thing. Remember, everyone, they had the open auditions. That location didn't matter. Everyone sent in YouTube videos. It was the same thing here.
Yeah, well, we have the power of the internet. People can collaborate, regardless of location.
This is the age of the internet.
Yes. Like us, we're not in the same location.
And we can collaborate.
Did you know that?
Oh my gosh.
This is amazing.
We're across different timelines even. Or not timelines, fucking. No, time zones. Oh. No, we're not time travelers. We are just in various time zones.
Okay.
Unless you count being in different time zones as time travel.
Wait, did Larry just join?
I mean, maybe Larry might have just joined.
Oh.
Yeah, spooky Larry.
We have changed timelines again.
We have changed timelines yet again.
You know, Zelda was in my timeline the other day. So.
Oh shit! You guys overlapped timelines the other day.
Crazy stuff.
You don't just call me Barry Allen, dude.
You shouldn't cross the streams.
Amazing. Yeah, you might mess up each other's timelines.
Right. So, Helium Prime announced him as a vocalist not too long ago, and they showed him singing their song "Remnants of Stars." And then he also has a cover on his YouTube channel of Life Finds a Way. And I was really impressed with his cover of that one.
Yeah, his version of Life Finds a Way actually reminds me of Heather's original version. Like, I thought it was her. And then I was like, oh, that's a dude. Okay. But yeah, no, it was really well performed. Like, I think he has real powerful vocals.
Yeah, I checked out some of his covers and he's been doing them for a while.
Yeah,
he even has one of my favorite songs from the Bastion soundtrack on there. So if he listens to this, thank you for doing that one, dude.
You should check, if you find his Facebook, he has a snippet of what's the name of the song, Full Moon, that song that probably nobody ever heard. And
the Sonata Arctica one?
The Sonata Arctica one, yeah.
Oh, nice.
He has a snippet of that, and it's looking good if he does it full.
That is a fun song to sing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in karaoke once.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I saw Sonata Arctica live, when they did Full Moon, it was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm partial fuck, I forgot what it's called. I Have a Right. I'm partial to I Have a Right.
Are you kidding me?
You have a right to leave this timeline.
No, I have a right to I have a right, okay?
You sound like you're just saying that to piss me off. Mm-hmm. That song is so bad.
I also so bland. Really like the one where they run away. I don't remember what song that is, though.
Full Moon.
Oh, is that Full Moon?
Run away, yeah. Run away.
Perfect.
I discovered that song 2 years ago. And I didn't know the name of it. And everyone will tell me, hey, we should do Full Moon. Oh, I don't know what song that is. And then I said,
the Runaway song.
Then I thought,
but let's do the Runaway song.
Runaway
song. The same song.
I told my friends, we should sing the Runaway song. Like, that's Full Moon. Oh, really?
That's great.
All these years without knowing.
I've seen them twice and they've only played it once. So I don't know what the deal with that is.
No, it's an old song that was on Ecliptica. Yeah, which
it's like their most popular song ever, though.
Yeah, but it's like their biggest song.
Is it really?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's got the most sing-along-y chorus of all of their songs.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's one thing, for example, like everyone I know here that likes Sonata Arctica likes them from before, like 10 years or I don't know, wherever
it was.
And everyone tells me like, okay, that song, I'm sick of listening to it. Because also every single band that does power metal covers here does that song. So everyone has
heard
it.
That song is so iconic.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
Since I'm relatively new to it, I keep singing it.
Let's just say it's popular enough to make it onto some like Korean karaoke, what is it? Those song selections on Korean karaoke. If a song has made it on there, that means it's pretty fucking popular.
Yeah. Good point.
Yes.
I mean, did you hear about that baseball team over in Japan that has that Rhapsody song?
Yeah, they have Emerald Sword as like
Emerald
their
Sword?
Like, walk-on song. It's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then
the crowd knows it. It's great.
In the Olympics and the synchronized swimming, there was a team that used Camelot.
And Nightwish, I think, too.
Nightwish, too.
That's pretty cool.
I can see that working.
Yeah.
Were they European?
I can't remember where they're from. It might have been Korea or something.
Not America?
Not America.
Nah. That was the point.
Nah.
Americans in power metal? What?
Metal's dead, man.
R.I.P.
No. American metal died.
It's as dead as what our album reviews are going to be after this segment. So let's start off on a positive note and talk about happy stuff like Christmas power metal albums.
Yay.
Yay.
Since it's December, we're getting into the holiday spirit with our Christmas themed metal and power metal and sort of related things.
Yay. All right. So our first album that we're going to talk about is Tarja from Spirits and Ghosts.
Score for a dark Christmas.
What did you guys think about that album?
Spooky AF.
It wasn't really a dark Christmas. It was more of like a spooky Christmas.
It was like Halloween stuck around all the way to Christmas.
Yeah, it was
like Nightmare Before Christmas.
It was a really chill album. Like, yeah. It's got like that like sort of like slower, sort of spookier orchestral style. But it's not really dark and edgy so much as it is just kind of atmospheric, I guess. Overall, I thought the songs, you know, it's all Christmas songs done in like this slow orchestral style with Tarja singing, but I liked it quite a bit for what it is.
I found it really relaxing to listen to.
Yeah, like I was just chilling when I was listening to it.
Yeah, it's nice to sit down and just put it on and dim the lights a bit and relax. It's like not the kind of album that I would put in the background when I'm with my family in Christmas, everyone noisy.
Oh, definitely not, no.
It would just be like, I'm just here relaxing, listening to
taking
this
a bath.
Atmospheric thing. Yeah.
Taking, a bath, a lighting some candles. Bath. Maybe some like rose petals in the water.
You can let Tarja serenade you. Hmm. Like if you look at the album art for the album, it's so like edgy and dark. It's got like Tarja with like the makeup and the weird hand things on her face, and it's not nearly as like dark and edgy as that album art makes it look like.
It was Swan Lake. That's her Swan Lake costume.
Oh, is it supposed to be Swan Lake?
I assume Swan Lake is Christmassy.
Is it?
Yeah.
We're educated here, folks.
It's one of those classic ballets that they do around Christmas time with the Nutcracker.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot about the Nutcracker and like how people associate Christmas with theater.
Oh dude, I bet you
none of the songs on it have to do with Swan Lake though.
I'm totes not classy at all.
I bet you there's a Nutcracker album that we didn't remember about.
Probably.
I bet you that's a thing.
One important thing I wanted to bring up about this album is Tarja just announced that one of the singles from the album, Feliz Navidad, she's recording a special charity version for.
Do you want me to say the name of that song?
Feliz
if you want to put it, yeah, say it properly.
Yeah. Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
That song?
Yeah. Yeah, you're
yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that song.
Shit.
Your pronunciation is
like
spot on for.
The one that you hear on the radio
like
all the time.
I'm like fake Spanish.
Yeah, it's really popular. You always hear Feliz Navidad, we wish you a Merry Christmas. I'm sorry for my bad Spanish. But the interesting thing about this is she's recording the song. I'm just going to read straight from the Facebook post here. Together with friends and fellow musicians such as Michael Monroe, Doro, Tony Kako, Elise Reed, Marco Soresto, Timo Kotipelto, I'm sorry for butchering all the names, Simone Simmons, Christina Scabbia, Jolynn Turner, Floor Janssen, Hansi Kirsch, hollow be his name, and Sharon Denadel. Wow. These are a lot of big names she's dropping.
That's a lot of familiar names.
Praise be to Hansi.
Yes, praise be to Hansi.
Our Lord and Savior.
Tarja is well-networked.
Yeah, and she's bringing all these people in just for a recording of Feliz Navidad.
Oh my God, that is going to be the most...
very, very repetitive song.
Extreme recording of Feliz Navidad. Like, that's going to be in existence.
I like to listen to it because I can't imagine how can you cram all of these people.
Yeah, I am incredibly curious to hear like 12 like powerful as fuck like metal vocalists on like a cute Christmas song.
Yeah, I can tell you that Hansi does not get a big enough part already.
It's never a big enough part for
it's
Hansi.
Never big enough.
Oh my God. They're just going to all become a chorus, and it's just going to be like the most ridiculously overpowered chorus in the universe on Feliz Navidad.
Because they say Feliz Navidad and We Wish You a Merry Christmas like 20 times during the song. Oh, so each singer is going to do that once.
You know, that's
my thought.
I found that funny because I listened to the album version of Feliz Navidad and how it says We Wish You a Merry Christmas a lot of times. But
yes.
It has actual lyrics in Spanish. So it really caught me off guard. Yeah,
like, it's hard to imagine Tarja singing Spanish. Maybe she'll have an easier time with that.
No,
than English.
She does sing in Spanish a lot. She practically lives here in Argentina.
Oh my gosh! Her husband is being dumb from right Argentina. Now,
yeah,
so that makes a lot of sense.
It does. Does Fabio live over in Brazil, or is he in Italy?
I don't know.
Because he's with Angra.
So we'll talk about that later. But Angra did some vlogs, which I'll elaborate on, and Fabio was spotted in some of them. Oh. And they're all speaking Portuguese, so I'm assuming it's all in Brazil.
I wish I asked Matt about that.
Tarja is doing this special version of Feliz Navidad in support of the tiny Caribbean island of Barbuda, which was devastated by Hurricane Irma. So all the proceeds from that are going for charity and relief efforts.
Was that the first hurricane or the second one?
Second?
I don't know. There was just so many.
There were a lot of natural disasters
there were like
this year.
Three or four back to back.
Yeah, it's been a rough year for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So any efforts to help those folks out,
yeah,
it's pretty great.
To anyone who wants to.
And we
to,
get to have Hansi wish me a Merry Christmas, which is special.
Yeah. And anyone who wants to pitch in, there will be a limited run of 1,000 copies of a 7-inch vinyl single with this song.
Ooh.
So...
We'll put the link down there.
Yeah. If you want to put your money for this, this might be a nice catch for Christmas if it's not sold out already because 1,000 is a bit little.
The song itself comes out on the 8th.
Yeah.
So it's a few days after we're recording this. I was hoping to get to listen to it before, but oh well. So I think this podcast will be out right around then. So be sure to check it out.
Yeah. Check the show notes. Check it out.
Powerful.
Cool. So our next Christmas album that we're going to talk about is Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Christmas Eve and Other Stories. And this is an album that was Trans-Siberian Orchestra's debut in 1996.
Now, Trans-Siberian Orchestra is just like the Christmas metal-y band. They even have mainstream appeal, so
yeah,
it's weird.
They get like almost sold out stadiums full of like normal people.
Normal people
listen every year. Trans-Siberian Orchestra tricks normal people into listening to metal every Christmas, and I love it.
That is amazing. So Trans-Siberian Orchestra is not a orchestra of trans people from Siberia?
Apparently not.
I think that's a reference to the Trans-Siberian Railroad.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, sure.
I'm the worst. I'm sorry, I'm the worst. Anyway, they're a super group by a producer, Paul O'Neill, and
R.I.P.
members of Sabotage, including John Oliva, and they have a lot of like guest vocalists and musicians. And they have like progressive rock/metal interpretations of like classic Christmas songs. and including the do 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 do.
Yeah,
like that one.
They're Carol the
Carol the Bells.
The normal song is Carol the Carol the Bells.
Carol of the Bells. They play a hell of a show.
Their version is Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, I think. Is.
Christmas Sarajevo. Eve in Sarajevo.
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 Excuse me, yes.
So, I think it's not Spanish, so the J is a Y.
It's Sarajevo. Not Spanish.
It's Sarajevo. Not. It's like Bulgarian or something.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's Bosnian. So Bosnia. That track, Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, was originally on Sabotage's Dead Winter Dead, which was released, I think it was the year before Trans-Siberian Orchestra's version. But have you guys heard that one?
I have heard it. I'm just more familiar with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra one just because that's the popular one.
Well, it's the exact same track, so you've heard it.
Okay, then.
So, yeah, but the entire album, Dead Winter Dead, is it's a rock opera about a Bosnian man who falls in love with a Muslim woman. And it's a really good album. Like, the Christmas Eve Sarajevo track... Right after that track, the next track is this really, really pretty ballad called Not What You See. And it's like super sad. It's just so pretty. The album itself is a rock opera. So it has plenty of like metal shred and like actual metal songs.
Are we back on some, like, TSO or the Sabotage?
No, I'm just ranting on about this album of Dead Winter Dead because it's all I fucking listened to last week because I'm an idiot.
You didn't put it in the list.
Well, we're on an off tangent rant. Stop making the podcast. I thought we liked off tangent rants. Do we not?
No, it's fine.
Off tangent rants are great.
Yeah, it's great. I just wish you put it in the list, and I would have listened to it.
Oh, no, it's okay. It was just my, like, random listening, because I was just, I don't know, I just felt like it.
It was and I have Force some Corner.
Sentimental value yeah. for Force Corner.
Yeah.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra has another album that I've listened to quite a bit. Their, the Christmas Attic album.
Cool.
That my family actually has that CD, and like we would sometimes put that on when like decorating the house for Christmas stuff.
Oh, that's so nice.
Which I was always so that I always really liked it when like the more metally Christmas Attic songs would come on. I think like Christmas Cannon is one.
Christmas Cannon is really good live. Yeah,
during
it's so popular.
Their violinist when the cannons come in that song, the violinist at the show like. Breaks her bow synced up with the cannons. It's fucking awesome.
Oh, that sounds sick.
She breaks her nice. Bow.
She breaks her bow synced up with a cannon shot and like some jets of fire. It's fucking sick.
That's so fucking metal.
I need to go see them, but I think they already came through here.
Yeah. I've never seen them live, but I would like to.
I'm sure they come up through your way.
Yeah, there will be lasers.
Blazer. Ooh.
Yeah, we were promised lasers.
There's a ton of fire. It's great.
And they do deliver.
Yeah, these guys have production values, man. Appealing to popular stuff with the Christmas stuff. Oh man, they're geniuses.
They've got like a lift in the middle. I went and saw them at a like a football field kind of stadium, and they had like a lift in the middle of the football field. And someone like got up on the lift and started like shredding on guitar, like 30 feet up in the air, surrounded by fire. It was great.
That's the good stuff.
That was pretty badass.
Yeah, but I just love it in December when you hear Trans-Siberian Orchestra randomly. You get lots of like the same Christmassy songs, but just that little bit of metal breaking into the mainstream, it's near and dear to my heart.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah, it is.
They're playing today here, so I missed them. They have a show in 20 minutes.
Go, can't you make it?
No, it's on the other side of town. I wouldn't be able to make it even if I had tickets.
Oh, no.
And, but you're here for us.
And here you are hanging out with us.
Oh. RIP.
They're probably sold out.
I'll go next year.
Clearly, Larry prefers to hang out with us. See how cool we are?
I tried to get my family to go to them last year during Christmas, but couldn't talk them into it.
The tickets aren't even that expensive. At least here they aren't. They're like 30
bucks.
They
were more expensive here, I think. They're
35
like 60
maybe?
Bucks here, I think.
Well, it's because you live in like in the middle of the desert nowhere.
That's fair.
Just kidding.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right. So instead of talking shit about where Larry lives, our next Christmas album is Twisted Sister.
Yeah, A Twisted Christmas by Twisted Sister.
All right.
This little album was released by Twisted Sister in 2006. It's the last album they released, and it came kind of out of nowhere, and it's great. I like Zelda mentioned before, like, I listen to this album with my family every year during Christmas. This is on the Christmas rotation. I don't know if you knew, but, you know, the most famous Twisted Sister song, We're Not Gonna Take It. I guess everyone knows that song.
We're not gonna take it.
Exactly. Is that a Christmas song?
I don't think. Is that a Christmas
it's
song?
It's stolen. It's inspired by a Christmas song, which is called "Oh Come All Ye Faithful." So in this album,
oh, the come melody is the same.
Oh,
are you serious? Oh my god, I never knew that,
dude.
It's just like a sped up version of that.
Yeah,
my mind is blown,
dude.
So they in this album they recorded that song, the actual Christmas song, in the style of their version, and it's really catchy. It's probably We're Not Gonna Take It. It's a better song. But it's nice, and they did a video of the song in the style of We're Not Gonna Take It. There's a nice family celebrating Christmas, and then Twisted Sister just kicks in and starts ravaging everything.
Ravaging.
Very nice.
That's great.
And the whole album is Christmas songs. It's really festive. That's the word I use.
Cool. All right, so our next Christmas our single, we're talking about a Christmas single, is Vionity?
I think it's Vionity
Christmas Time. So Vionity is a Swedish power metal band, and their most recent release was Into the Void in 2016, which I actually really enjoyed. It's like a spacey power metal album.
Was it as good as the Blind Guardian song? Where Hansi screams into the void?
The Tanalorn one?
Yes.
That is a good
I don't know if
song.
I can compare the two.
And Tanalorn into the void.
This vocalist sounds nothing like Hansi. He has like a deep, warm voice.
But last year they released their single Christmas Time, which is a really solid power metal-y Christmas song.
Yeah, it starts off all like adorable with like fucking music boxes, which I kind of
hate. I think it's and got like home video at the beginning too.
Yeah, like, and then suddenly some family there's home like video. A there's like a huge whale, and then it gets all like power metal, and the video is actually pretty hilarious.
Yeah, definitely check out the music video for this.
We'll link it in the show notes, but it's like the band holding up little Christmas toys and like a Halloween record.
It's really
like
adorable.
A Yngwie record and like making them dance around. It's
yeah.
adorable.
I really loved the music video for this one, and the song is solid.
Yeah, so that's Vionity Christmas Time. And our next Christmas single is Sonata Arctica Christmas Spirits. And this single was released in 2015, which puts it after Pariah's Child and before their Hot Mess of a Ninth album.
It's solidly in bad territory, though.
Yeah, it's just like, I am awkwardly trying to be a decent song, but I am preceding the ninth hour. Sorry. So, Darko, what did you think about this song?
I did not like this song.
I want to hear why.
I just when it starts, it's kind of boring.
It's a weird one.
Yeah, and when the vocals start, when the main verses start, it gets a bit interesting. But not really that much. I don't know. It's weird. I find it boring, mostly. And it really...
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like... I mean, it sounds like they tried to do a Christmas song.
Yeah.
But I think it fails to be that festive or interesting.
It's very spooky. It's like sneaky, spooky elves, like... doing pranks on your like house.
One thing that I'm finding related between all the songs is that there's a lot of spookiness mixed with Christmas in metal.
Oh yeah.
Like even in from Tarja's album, like it's all the songs are meant to be like that, and some others that we'll mention now also have that. And this one, like, yeah, we're making Christmas, we're making it metal, then we have to add the little triton and make it spooky, and the little bells.
I mean,
yeah, it'll be like a Krampus angle or something sometimes.
Yeah, if you really think about it, Christmas is kind of spooky. Like, what's creepier than a bearded man going down random people's chimneys?
Hey, it's about the spirit of giving. He's okay. Happy. He's a happy man.
With, like,
he's
he has
jolly.
He has an enslaved team.
No,
of
no.
Elves.
He feeds them. It's not slavery. Yeah. They work
it's slavery
for
with
board.
Extra steps.
He probably pays them minimum wage, and do they even have health insurance?
They can't,
like,
even
it's
leave.
A lot of work. They can't leave.
Maybe they like it.
This isn't bullshit.
Maybe they like
they're
it.
Enslaved.
Okay.
Dude, they're enslaved.
How many elves do you think it takes to groom that beard? Like, he needs those elves.
Like, a lot. No, he doesn't. This is, like, cheap labor, and they're being exploited, and...
And then you have
anyway,
the,
Christmas.
The reindeer.
Did you not see...
Creepy as fuck.
Did you not see the Santa Claus? One, two,
I
and three?
I did see the Santa Claus.
That's a terrible
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, that's propaganda.
They enjoy propaganda. Working at the workshop, okay?
That is... propaganda. You have been indoctrinated to believe that,
you know,
they're okay, but
I will
where do
say
we go from Sonata Arctica to the ethics of Christmas.
I will say that I just recently, like this week, realized that the Santa Claus is spelled like a legal clause.
That's the whole
clause
point of the movie.
The E.
I just noticed that this
seriously
week.
That's literally yep. The what, inciting what, incident of the movie
are you
is
watching
like he breaches
the
contract.
Larry, please.
No, I wasn't. I just saw it mentioned somewhere.
You just saw the title.
Oh,
yeah, see? Christmas is creepy as fuck. Sonata Arctica is trying to convey that in their
maybe,
creepy as fuck single.
Maybe because the Santa Claus is a legal thing, they're indentured slaves, and they're working off their debt to the original Santa.
That still doesn't justify
it's not slavery, it's indentured servitude.
Whatever, they're still being exploited.
That is how my ancestors justified moving to the New World.
Oh my god, let's not get into this.
Let's
Christ.
Move on to something better.
All right, so...
Sonata Arctica bad. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Sonata Arctica started this argument, so I'm really mad at them for doing that. And their last album was, like, complete garbage. Anyway,
the next one, though,
on.
This beloved figure, beloved by all. Some people may know him as... Saruman? Huh?
Yeah, we're talking about Christopher Lee. God rest his soul.
Christopher Lee, A Heavy Metal Christmas. Yeah, he was an English actor who was the villain in, like, most movies in existence.
He was
basically.
He was Dracula. He fought Nazis in the war. He's, like, another realm.
He's basically the most badass dude to have ever lived.
A fun fact about the shooting of the Two Towers. At the end, when Wormtongue kills Saruman... He was supposed to yell out in pain, but Christopher Lee, having killed Nazis in World War II, presumably with knives, said, "No, no, no, that's unrealistic. When you stab someone, they're quiet."
What?
He like gasps in the movie.
Yeah,
oh,
because you puncture
God.
A lung, so you can't you can't expel air past your vocal cords anymore. So you just let out like a gasp, and then everyone
was
like really quiet for the rest of the day.
That was a really fun fact.
Yeah.
So fun.
Glad
it's a very Christmassy fact.
Glad
really
to oblige.
Yeah. So if you listen to this album, he just covers like classic Christmas songs in like this super deep voice.
He did opera for a time.
His voice is awesome.
He did opera.
Yes.
So probably everyone likes power metal heard Christopher Lee singing alongside what's his name? Fabio, was
Fabio
it?
Leone.
Yeah, that guy Fabio that you probably heard of him.
That guy Fabio.
Doing the Rhapsody song. To help me out,
the Wizard's
guys.
Dream.
The Wizard's Dream, yeah. So everyone should know, like, he sings in this deep operatic voice. And that's what he does for the Heavy Metal Christmas and Heavy Metal Christmas 2. He's like four songs in total, I think. And this comes from the little, another metal album that he started doing. This was all when he was like 89 years old or something.
Yeah, he was really fucking old. I think he like has the record of like the oldest metal person.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And so props to our boy Christopher Lee.
And what did you guys think about these songs? Because we talked about the guy and he's great, but...
The songs themselves, like I've never been too big on Christopher Lee's actual like metal stuff. As sad as it is to say, like I think it's really awesome that he does it. And I'm glad that he did. but it was never that great. His voice is cool,
I mean, it's kind of funny hearing these like jingle bells and little drummer boy and like a super deep voice.
It is weird. It's like, I made my drum for you. Except way deeper and cooler than that.
Way deeper. Way cooler.
I'm not really a fan, honestly, of his metal work, but I dig that he did it. You know?
Yeah.
I think it's really cool that he did it, but it never really clicked with me.
Yeah, I feel the same. I think the main thing is that it seems he didn't actually do it with like a group of professional people or got some band or great producer. It's like, sounds like something he just did with some kid he found that play guitar. So it's half done.
Nice.
I don't know the actual story. That's how I perceive it. Like, it's like half there, but it's still a good concept, and it's cool that it's there, that we have it.
Cool.
And before we move on, I just want to cover our asses real quick. Larry mentioned that scene from Lord of the Rings. That was actually at the beginning of Return of the King.
Towers. I'm sorry.
And it happened differently in the books. We know. Don't complain about it in the comments.
Don't worry. They already complained. By the time we say they already wrote 15 comments saying how bad we are.
Yeah.
We
have to be...
Ed wrote a novel about why we're wrong, too.
We have to be ultra careful every time we talk about any Tolkien or Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit related facts or any Middle Earth related concepts.
We will get chewed out.
Fun Lord of the Rings fact for you. Ungoliant.
No, not another.
Ungoliant, the mother of Shelob, one time teamed up with Morgoth to steal one of the Silmarils, and then they did, and then Morgoth killed Ungoliant.
You just want to.
Is that the time when she locked into
like,
a sexy
that's,
lady?
That's mostly correct. I'm sure I got details wrong.
Let's stop. The more we go into this, the more wrong we're going to be in.
There's a kernel of truth in there because Ungoliant did steal a Silmaril.
Would you call it a grain of truth? We'll get to that later, kids.
And this is the guy who chewed me out for gushing over Sabotage. God.
I'm
the nerve.
I'm here for the funnies. That's what I'm here for.
All right. So speaking of hilarious Christmas songs, Theocracy, Winter Fever.
Oh boy. Oh,
I love this song.
That's I love this song.
Great. So
I love
great.
It. All of Theocracy's Christmas music is great. Theocracy is a great band. And Theocracy, if you're listening, definitely come to the American Southwest sometime. I'll buy you a beer or like six because there's five of you.
If you come to
someone
Argentina,
can have an extra.
I will go and see. I will pay the ticket. That does
you got it. Yeah. You got at least one ticket sale on the American Southwest.
Make
yeah,
that
well,
two.
you've got two if you hit up California.
Go to San Diego, and you've got the three of us.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll drive.
It's a centralized location.
I'll drive. That's only 6 hours.
Only.
No.
All right.
Everyone's favorite Christian power metal band, Theocracy, has a whole bunch of Christmassy songs. They usually do one a year or so. And my favorite of theirs is Winter Fever, which is like a 10 or 11 minute long epic about Santa's son trying to get with Frosty's daughter.
Santa does not approve.
And it is hilarious. Santa does not approve, and it's hilarious.
Santa
and epic
eventually kills Frosty's daughter.
Dude, spoilers.
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 JK. Ooh, spoiler alert. Sorry, guys. I just love that part. It was so funny. Shout out to Matt Smith or whoever wrote that song. It's incredible.
The performance is great and it sounds so good.
Everything they do sounds so good, though. They haven't put out anything bad.
No, I mean...
Nothing.
I mean, like...
They
have,
I lied.
From my nerdy technical standpoint, like their first album or the first two, I think, they don't sound that good.
That's fair.
But
we're still figuring it out.
I like the content.
The first album was just a one man production.
Mm. It was literally just
Matt.
Makes sense.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yes. Yes.
Because the content is great. It was just like the whole mixing and mastering thingy. And this single, it's just delicious how it sounds.
Did you listen to Ghost Ship yet, Darko?
Yeah. I listened to Ghost Ship.
How'd you like it?
Sound great. It's great.
Did you like the songs that were bad?
I don't.
Which one?
I don't remember
to the middle.
The
I
middle
don't
songs.
That much. Like I remember
Call to Arms.
Call to Arms and
fuck that song.
The Embers
I mean,
song.
Sorry.
I don't
Stir the Embers.
Stir the Embers. The bad ones.
I haven't listened that much to remember which song is which.
Oh, they're the bad ones. You'll,
it's okay. Just you'll know listen to Paper Tiger and everything will be fine.
Easter's really good
I
too.
I can say that overall, I like the stuff they do.
I'm pretty sure that Matt Smith's day job is like an audio engineer, which is why they're good at this stuff. Mm. I could be wrong on that.
That's pretty cool.
Also, may I just say Mirror of Souls is the best 20-minute song in power metal?
How many 20-minute songs are there in power metal?
I don't know.
Is it longer than Soldiers of the Wasteland, though?
I don't know, but it's pretty good.
I think
Soldiers of the Wasteland is longer. That's the longest song in power metal.
Longest song
hands down
in power metal
hands down
okay
I doubt there's any song 13
minutes
that
that's really long like oof.
All right, before we start memeing too hard, Theocracy is great. Listen to Winter Fever.
Yeah, Theocracy, Winter Fever, and give it a listen,
Matt,
if you haven't heard
Matt
it.
If you're listening on top of the Southwest, you need to play a show in Atlanta the Sunday after Prog Power.
Oh my god, it's too soon. God damn it, Larry, stop making
We're gonna
so
die if he does that.
You need to do that. Please and thank you.
Okay, not only did we get some Lord of the Rings facts incorrect, we are making up fake
I didn't
news
make
and
up
talking
things.
To Matt Smith.
I asked him to do it.
Okay. All right. Let's hope he's one of our, like, 27 listeners.
I don't think he is.
You don't think he is?
One day. One day he'll go through our backlog and be like, oh, I could have done it. R.I.P.
Okay. Winter Fever, 10 out of 10 high effort troll Christmas song. Would recommend.
Listen to all of Theocracy's Christmas songs. They're all pretty good.
Right. And the Christmas medley. Okay. All right. Before we move on a little bit, I want to also talk about the band Orion's Reign. I believe they're from Greece. And they've been putting out a power metal song every Christmas for a Christmassy song for quite a few years now, usually featuring guest vocalists. And I really like their Christmas songs. They've covered Jingle Bells, Deck the Halls, Carol of the Bells. And they're pretty awesome. In fact, I like their Christmas songs better than their normal music. Whenever I listen to their normal stuff, I think it's kind of a letdown. But their Christmas stuff just sounds better to me. I'd recommend checking out their cover of Jingle Bells. The last couple of years, they've featured the YouTube singer Miniva. She always does a really great job in her covers, and I've really liked the songs they put out recently. They also have, forgive me for saying this, but they also have Pelike on one of their on their covers, and it's a less annoying Pelike performance, so even that one isn't terrible.
You know, I think if Pelike is instructed what to sing by others, he is okay, but when left to his own accords, he just, overdoes it.
He doesn't have any feeling, though.
I can't believe that's how you actually pronounce that name.
That's his name.
That's how
Pelle
introduces
Pelle
himself.
Is a legitimate Scandinavian name I learned when I was watching the black metal documentary. Something Lights. Pelle is a
Until
real
the
name.
Light takes us.
Yeah, that.
Yes.
Very good. Check it out if you're interested in Norwegian black metal.
Yes.
But Pelle is a real Scandinavian name, certified. Certified Larry Biscuit fact.
That's okay. That's not what I have an issue with. It's the K part.
No, that's what he introduces himself as in his music.
Yeah, it's
in his,
literally what he calls himself.
In his anime covers.
Up until like a month ago, I thought his name was Pelic.
Yeah, I always read it as Pelic.
I like Pelic better, personally.
Yeah,
but if you watch his like anime covers on YouTube...
Don't watch
I don't watch it.
No, he did one good anime cover.
I don't watch anything of him.
He did a cover of Sonochi no Sadame, the second opening for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It's very good.
This is getting too weeb for my liking.
If you're a fan of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure,
it's Christmas, damn it.
If you're a fan of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure,
this is not weeb-mas.
Check out Pelle K's cover of Sonochi no Sadame.
Or don't.
Or don't.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Oh my god.
It's the best opening for the show, so.
Okay.
Who watches openings?
You have to watch the opening like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah. No, yeah, you don't. Yeah. You watched.
No. You have to at least 2 or 3 times so you get in the mood. And
oh my god, please.
And then you skip it for the rest of the season.
Has a good song, you listen to it.
If you're binging, you skip them. But when the new one rolls around,
you gotta watch it again.
The opening.
If you're watching like House of Cards, then okay, skip the intro. But like, I always watch the intro for like Game of Thrones because like you see the map, it gets you, and you got the cool song.
So you didn't
the intro for Stranger Things because the music is great. Like
you didn't watch the openings for Full Metal Alchemist 4?
Oh,
nope.
Wow.
Good openings.
Oh my god, they're so good.
They are all great.
They're all good.
All of them.
You guys are like, you guys are infuriated that I skipped Full Metal Alchemist openings.
They're so good.
You're missing
so much. They're so good.
I miss 90% of the show.
I bet you would skip the intro of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, but I watched
it once.
It's like 5 seconds long.
I watched it like once.
You wouldn't even be able to click the skip intro button fast enough.
I would find a way to skip it.
It's like six notes.
Damn you.
Like, it's legitimately like six notes.
But then when those six notes come in at the end of the show... spoilers, but... Never mind. Off topic.
Breaking Bad's like 5 years old. So... We can talk about it.
Yeah, but we were talking about Christmas music.
Oh, then we won't talk about it. Speaking of Christmas music, check out Christmas Rains. You know who else put out a Christmas album?
Who?
Dropkick Murphys. They did an album or a single called "The Season's Upon Us." Those good old Boston boys embraced their Irish Catholic heritage and put out a Christmas song.
Yeah, this was from, I'm not sure how old it is, but I first heard it a few years ago, just randomly on the radio. I was just like, what the fuck is this song? It's amazing and totally not a radio-style song. But it's sort of like Dropkick Murphys' sort of like folky rock style. If you might be familiar with their song, Shipping Up to Boston.
Boston Bands is what the genre is.
From The Departed. And it's got that charm to it. It's silly and Christmassy and fun. And The Season's Upon Us is a good one to listen to. It's not metal, but they're like a folk rock band, so I'm calling it close enough, damn it.
You know what is metal, though, and also put out a Christmas song or album? You may know this little band from a documentary known as This Is Spinal Tap. That's
Holy
right.
Holy shit.
We're talking about the band Spinal Tap. They did a Christmas song called Christmas with the Devil. Darko, you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Anyone who remembers this classic movie...
I've seen it. My dad made me watch it.
Great film. Eye-opening.
Yeah. If you're a musician, you need to watch this
movie. You have to be very specific about your units of measurement, is what I learned.
Yeah, oh, that's...
Otherwise, you get a Stonehenge that's shin high.
Yeah. So, Spinal Tap, I think it's actually mentioned in the movie, they have one Christmas song. It's Christmas with the Devil. I just put it here because I was looking around and figuring out what metal Christmas songs there are around. And this is not a good song. Really, it is not a good song. I just wanted to mention Spinal Tap. If you want, you can go and listen to it. The lyrics are like about Christmas with the Devil. And it's just like a regular old rock, heavy rock song.
It starts with the Carol of the Bells melody.
Mm.
Yeah,
I love that melody, though.
I love that song.
I find it infuriating that it doesn't resolve and can go on forever.
The song will never end.
Yeah.
You have to decide when it ends, and sometimes you don't want to make all those decisions.
That's why you just listen to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra version.
Yeah.
Yes. If you've played Left 4 Dead 2 at all, there's an in-game band called the Midnight Riders. And in the game's canon or lore, they created a Christmas song called All I Want for Christmas is to Kick Your Ass. And it's decently funny. It's just pretty much a pretty standard old hard rock metal style. I checked out it before this because I didn't remember hearing it in game anywhere. But it's a solid, interesting song about... because the band, according to the story, didn't want to do a Christmas song, but they were forced into it. So they made it kind of edgy.
They made it. Nice. They made it to avoid having to do 30,000 hours of community service.
So thank you, Valve.
Is that true?
No, that's the in-game story.
Story.
Deepest lore, dude. Deepest lore.
Which makes it true.
This is the band that does most of the songs that blast out when you're playing. Like when you're playing Left 4 Dead 2, when you get to the stage.
I admittedly didn't play much Left 4 Dead 2.
Oh, man.
We played one map over and over on the highest difficulty and never beat it.
I think I put a mod in that replaced that portion with Iron Maiden.
Because like that's the only way to play Left 4 Dead 2. You got to do it in the highest difficulty, yes. And you got to bang your head against the wall until you win. Didn't happen.
See, that's from okay. That's at the good old days when Iron Maiden video playing, games.
It's all, it's
took
all
like
good.
2 years. Just didn't do it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was fun.
R.I.P. Larry's gaming career.
And you know, now I can't land any shots in PUBG.
Speaking of disappointments, other than Larry's skill at PUBG, Beast in Black.
Are we going to get into our review portion now?
Oh boy. If yes. there's a moral to okay. the story today, it's that Christmas albums kind of suck.
Yeah, we've had some good Christmas stuff.
Yeah, we took more about no, good stuff than bad.
What are you talking about?
We had more positive yeah. than negative Christmas stuff.
Were you even listening?
You're not maybe. Paying attention to your not. Own damn podcast.
I just talk.
What the fuck, yeah, Larry?
You talk, you don't fired. Listen.
I just you talk. Show up late. I just talk. I show up late. You know, I set up the itinerary.
Stop talking over people.
You know.
I know.
All right. So anyway, we were talking shit about Beast in Black, not Larry. Can we continue on that?
Yeah. So if you guys remember the last episode or two, we've been really liking Beast in Black's singles for their debut here. Oh, we liked Blind and Frozen. We really, really liked the self-titled Beast in Black, ooh. Berserker. Ooh. And so it's like, all right, guys, this album, this is going to be one to look forward to. And then it drops, and...
and it drops hard.
It dropped. That's what it did.
Let me remind yeah, myself about what I said.
Drop it like it's hot.
I had some specific
did you
complaints.
Check notes on this?
I made a discussion okay. post, buddy.
Sure.
Oh, boy.
All right, so while you're looking for that, can I start complaining?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Master complainer.
All right, sure. I'm not the master complainer. But anyway, it's themed off of Berserk, which is really violent. And all I get in this album is fucking glam synths and, like, not exciting guitar.
Yeah.
I think the only track worth listening to is their title track, Beast in Black, where Giannis, like, fucking wails, and he's hella aggressive, and it kicks ass.
Yeah, like, Beast in Black is the only song on the album with, like, any kind of, like, real aggression to it. Mm-hmm. Everything else is, like, shitty disco dance tracks.
Yeah, and, like, one of the tracks, Crazy Mad Insane, isn't even trying
that's
to
it.
Hide the fact that it's an EDM track.
Yeah, I wanna, okay. I would yeah. say, like... That song, Crazy Mad Insane, is the best song in the album, and it's the least metal song in the album by far, but it's still the best.
Oh, yeah.
So that paints, like, if you, everyone of us that were expecting to listen to this album and have this great metal album based on this violent thingy, and well, now.
Just listen to, like, three songs for that, and yeah. then expect a dance track in the middle.
Yeah. It's and then a shitty ballad yeah. at the end.
Yeah.
Oh my
and,
god.
And apparently Fifth Angel, which is like my third favorite song or whatever, is a total Duke Nukem ripoff, apparently.
It is?
They stole the riffs at 108 and 308.
I didn't notice.
According to Omega and Pizor.
Nice.
The Fifth Angel.
You're networking your facts.
I'm sourcing. So if someone
outsourcing your
if
facts,
someone disagrees, right take it up with them.
And not you. Are you? Oh my god.
And the Fifth Angel is a song about. My knowledge of Berserk is limited, but I'm pretty sure this is about.
That's the song.
It's the portion of the story where Griffith does nothing wrong. Correct.
Yeah, that is the. That's the big. You know, the big moment where. That's the big rape in Berserk. I'll say that.
Implying there are lesser rapes.
I'll say that because it's not spoilery at all. It's the big rape.
Not safe for work. Yeah, and that shit is not cool. And this album, I thought this album was... I don't know. It's super vocal driven. Most of the guitaring is just chords and like kind of
boring.
The
guitars are so boring in this, my god.
If you want like... If you want a glam metal synth fest, then... this is your album, I guess.
Yeah, if you really want, like, disco-y stuff. Like, okay, every song on this is, like, a worse version of Blind and Frozen. Like, I liked Blind and Frozen, like, when it was just, like, the one disco-y song. But a whole
I
album
thought it
of
was
that
a one-off.
Was like, no, man, that's not what I want.
Again?
Make
not
it,
again.
Make it like Beast in Black, where, like, the first song where it's, like, it's metal-y and aggressive. Like, there's keyboards there, but they're not the point. Like,
yeah.
Giannis's super aggressive vocals, which... Yas is like the best part of the album, hands down. Like, he kills it with the vocals.
Like, he left War Drum for this.
War Drum is so much better.
Are you kidding me, Home Dog?
I think,
bro, what were you thinking?
Beast in Black has been getting a lot more attention, though. I think they've got the connections and the marketing.
Beast in Black is you know, normie stuff.
Normie. That's the thing,
they're getting normie appeal.
It's normie like Sabaton.
Oh, fucking.
Oh, man.
They're taking a page from the Sabaton book.
Let's not talk about Sabaton.
And, like, that's a smart thing to do for mainstream appeal, but not the smart thing to do if you want me to like you.
Yeah, and if you get Zelda fan 355 to like you, you have succeeded in life.
Exactly.
And Beast in Black, you have not succeeded in life.
You started. You started.
Except for those, like, two songs.
Back down.
Those two songs.
Except for, like, two songs.
Yeah, the two songs are
But fine. Only in the con... Like, if I heard Blind and Frozen without hearing the single first, I would be like, this is literally like the rest of your album. Like, stop.
Like, if you guys had come out and said you were releasing an album, released your two singles, and then said, whoops, we lost the album.
I would be like, wow,
band.
What a tragedy.
Perfect band. Tragic that they never released the album, but, you know, they were good.
Yes.
Yeah, they wouldn't have had that chance to let us down.
Yeah, it would have like a cult following. Mm-hmm. You know, like those like bands that disappear and you never hear from, like Lost Horizon. Like, oh,
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Heavenly.
Never, the album will never come out. They're such a legendary power metal band. You could have reached Lost Horizon status.
The thing is, Lost Horizon put out two good albums and not two good songs.
Yeah, this is like a mini Lost Horizon that never happened. So it's just Horizon.
A couple of the songs on the album I thought were half decent. I think we mentioned Fifth Angel. And End of the World was okay, but for the most part, the album is just like,
Giannis was pretty good in End of the World, but it's still too dancey for me.
Why is it so dancey? Why is an album called Berserker with a lion dude with an axe and called Beast in Black? Why is it dancey? Yeah. I don't get it.
We have a problem of what we were expecting. Like, it doesn't, as he said, it doesn't match with the artwork. It doesn't match with the... I don't know if they said what genre it was supposed to be or whatever, but we were all expecting this heavy, punching, fast, violent metal, and the vocals could deliver that for sure, but it was clearly not the intention of the album overall. Again, I'd like to say I really like Crazy Mad Insane. It's not metal at all, that's for sure, but I think it's a great song.
That's a good review.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So if you want some dance metal, you can listen to Beast in Black. Just listen to the first song if you want the actual good metal, and then you can move on.
And then if you feel like breaking it down on the dance floor, listen to the rest of the album.
Yeah. Get groovy with
it. Get groovy with it. Okay. So let's get groovy with Elven King.
Yeah.
You guys want to talk about that?
That's the problem with Elven King is we can't get groovy with it.
Oh, God damn it.
Elven King.
So Larry and I are fond of Elven King in specific circumstances. When it's, as we say, happy Elven King, folky Elven King.
As opposposed to edgy, which is their other
As opposed to edgy Elven King, which is their other way of doing it. Sometimes they have like a middle ground, like an epic Elven King, where they try to get more epic, and that's hit or miss. And so I'm really fond of The Winter Wake. We both really like The Pagan Manifesto. We were blasting that the other day, and we were looking forward, you know, like cautious optimism to their upcoming album, from everything from the Magic. What was the fuck is the name of it? I don't even want to think about it.
The name of the
Secrets
album?
Secrets from the Magic Grimoire.
Secrets of the Magical Grimoire.
Secrets of the Magic Grimoire.
Magic with a K.
CK.
So it's old timey.
Right. Well, this album came out, and we generally like the singles. I think we're not too big on Dragon's Maelstrom, but Invoking Woodland Spirit was pretty good. Horned Ghost and Sorcerer was probably my favorite. And again, album drops. Larry, what did you think of this album?
Oh boy, steaming pile of poo, except for like two songs.
Wow, and you guys say I talk a lot of shit.
Oh man,
I'm gonna.
Please,
I'm gonna rescind that.
Oh.
Edit my words a little bit. Gross poop.
Gross poop.
The grossest of poops.
Grossest of poops.
Yeah, overall, I really wasn't feeling this one from Elven King. Like, the folky, fun stuff, it's sprinkled in there at moments. Like, Horned Ghost and Sorcerer has it. Three Ways to Magic has it. Like, there's bits of it in there. But for the most part, they tried to do like either edgy Elven King or like I said, a more like almost like epic thing, which you can kind of get from invoking the woodland spirit. But man, it most of the album is just like weird and boring, and I was not into this one. I'm sorry, Elven King.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys are lovely people, right?
Exactly. Actually, right? let me mention that. they actually might be lovely people because
Are they lovely people? Can you confirm?
Well, I messaged them on Facebook the other day, just asking them about something.
Did you complain?
No, I wasn't complaining.
Why did you make such a shitty album?
I was tempted, but
we had high hopes.
One of the songs on the album is called A Grain of Truth.
Oh.
Now, this song, it's not a great song, but the name stood out to me, and then I looked at the lyrics. A Grain of Truth is the name of one of the short stories from the Witcher books, and it's one of my favorite of the short stories. And I looked at the lyrics, I'm like, hey, these look like they could kind of go together. So to confirm, I reached out to the band to say, oh, hey, is it based off of that short story? And they said, oh, yeah, it was. And I'm like, oh, hey, that's cool. I didn't tell them that I wished the song was better because I wasn't too fond of the song. But A Grain of Truth is a really cool story, so if you want to read that, you should do that. It's sort of like a Witchery tale of sort of taking after Beauty and the Beast.
If you're going to hop into The Witcher, though, don't hop in with the short story anthologies.
Actually, don't listen to a word he just said, because you absolutely do need to read those.
They're boring. I read The Last Wish. So boring.
I like The Last Wish. And A Grain of Truth is off The Last Wish.
I thought it was a very boring anthology.
Who is correct? We will never know.
It put me off of the rest of the series.
Sword of Destiny is better, but if you just want like the plot relevant short stories, you can do Question of Price and The Last Wish, Sword of Destiny, and Something More. Those are like the most plot relevant ones. But anyway. They also have another, I think another song on here is based off of The Witcher. There's At the Court of the Wild Hunt, which is like the last big song on the album. It is, I thought it was one of the better ones, even not just with the Witchery themed lyrics. I actually thought it was half decent, but even then still didn't quite do it for me. In fact, the songs on the album that I liked the best were the bonus tracks, which are all like old versions of songs. Like Petal Storm and Jigsaw Puzzle from 2010. I thought those were probably the most fun songs on the album. And they're old. Like, I'm pretty sure Petal Storm is from before 2010. I could be getting my timeline mixed up here.
Oh no, we've crossed timelines.
Don't cross those timelines, dude.
Not again.
We've crossed timelines into a world where Elven King didn't suck gross pooply.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
You can go all the way back to Heathen Rail, though, and listen to that live version of Heathen Rail. And just be happy.
You thought, wait, you thought that was good?
The live version of Heathen Reel?
Yeah.
Yes. It is.
It's such a hot mess. Are you for
best
reals?
Best version of Heathen Reel.
It's a lost cause for them. They are lost.
Yeah, he's a lost
Zelda?
Cause.
Zelda?
I'll stop trying now.
A little back.
Are you talking about the Season Speech live version?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I meant Season Speech. Not the Heathen Reel.
Yeah, I was so confused.
Season Speech is the name of the song. Album. Yeah.
Season Speech is so bad. Are you
the
sure?
Live version of Season Speech is the best version of Season Speech. It's on the AFM.
Dude, there's
it's on
like,
the AFM Records YouTube page.
There's like three vocalists,
and it's great.
And then like there's like fucking. I'm just so confused.
They need to re-record Season Speech.
No.
Yep.
Anyway, so album not great. People nice enough. Read the Witcher books.
It's good. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad that you've confirmed that they're lovely people.
Yeah.
I'm really happy you did that.
Yeah, he was nice enough in his response to me on Facebook. So, and they did respond decently quickly. So nice
so
people
Elven
confirmed.
King,
good job, everyone.
Elven King, I apologize for all my bashing, but you guys are lovely people, and that makes me real happy. How about Terra Atlantica? Are they lovely people?
So you might have noticed that the last couple of reviews that we've had here, we said, oh, well, we like the singles and the album drops, and we don't like it. Well, that happened with this one, too.
Oh my God,
I talked
yeah.
up the singles for Terra Atlantica, the singles Atlantica and The Avenging Narwhal last episode. I thought they weren't anything special, but, you know, were pretty solid power metal. I was like, oh, this is fun. I'm looking forward to this. And then album drops. And the album, it's not as good. Those two singles were the best.
Oh my gosh. So I actually tried listening to this album because I was real curious. And the single titles were funny. But I don't think I got through, I didn't finish the album. It was basically like all orchestration. The vocalist was not that great. And I don't know, I was too busy listening to Sabotage on repeat.
Right.
So what did you think about it? You probably heard more than I have.
Yeah, I gave the album a couple listens, and there's two ballads on there. It's not even that long of an album, but there's two ballads, and they both suck, and they're garbage, and they shouldn't have done that.
Don't do that.
And then none of the other songs stood out to me. They're all just didn't reach the heights of the two singles, which even the singles like weren't amazing, but they didn't get me going with like that fun like those did, because the first single they have, Atlantica, with they had a music video for it, just it was really fun. They had some nice whoa-ohs in there, and they had this music video, we're all having fun, and it seemed like, and I enjoyed it. And then the second song, Avenging Narwhal, weird as fuck, but they had the singer from Timeless Miracle on there, which I think bumped it up for me as well. And the other songs on the album just... I don't even have the page open right now, so I can't reference the specifics, but... I don't know. It's not... It's just not good. I wish it was better.
They're like an Aelstorm worship band.
Not really, no. They're not that level of memery.
Like, I heard the one single, The Avenging Narwhal, and I'm like, it's an Aelstorm band. Straight up Aelstorm band.
I didn't get Aelstorm vibes from them. Even though it's about, like, every song is about, like, the ocean or Atlantis, but it's not really, like, piratey.
I totally got Aelstorm vibes, at least from The Avenging Narwhal, and then I went into it with that mindset, and I wasn't a fan.
Oh, well. Yeah, I think the songs that stood out to me, because I just pulled it up here, the title track of A City Once Divine was okay, Descendants was decent, I think Sails in the Night was okay, unless that was the other ballad. I could be getting mixed up. Don't listen to the ballads. They suck. Just listen to the first two proper songs, Atlantica and The Avenging Narwhal, and then pretend the rest of the album is good, just like with Beast in Black.
Just pretend the other album doesn't exist so it reaches cult following notoriety status,
exactly.
Like Lost Horizon, that it's not actually lost, so they're just called Horizon.
Lost Horizon was actually good.
And then like finals of the demo go for like, you know, thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Well, too bad that timeline never existed.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. But... So speaking of multiple timelines, let's talk about the various iterations of Rhapsody. And Leone Conti released a single called Ascension. Did you guys hear
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I heard it.
Yep. It was a song.
It was a single.
It was a song. It was a single, yeah.
It happened.
It happened. I remember.
I don't remember
it happening.
Points from it.
Yeah. So, a little bit for those of you who don't know, for some reason, Fabio Leone is the former vocalist of Rhapsody, and Alessandro Conti is the current vocalist of Luca Turilli's Rhapsody, not Rhapsody of Fire.
Luca Turilli's Rhapsody of
so,
Fire. I think.
Luca Turilli's is it?
I
is
don't
it
know.
It's Rhapsody or Luca
it's
Turilli's
something
Rhapsody
like
of Fire?
That. It's one of the Rhapsodies.
So these are both Rhapsody associated people, but neither of them are in Rhapsody of Fire. And they decided to collaborate.
And their first song was unspectacular, to say the least. I think
it was boring.
Most of us, if not all of us, listened to it.
Yeah.
And none of us can remember a damn thing about
great
it.
Great boring.
Actually, I thought that it wasn't that bad.
It's not bad.
I thought
it's not,
like,
bad. It's
thing,
not bad.
It's not bad at
no.
all. It's not bad at all because...
I thought that the guitarist did a great job.
We'd remember it if it was bad.
This band is named after the two vocalists, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm not really a Fabio fan. But who's the guitarist here? I really like them.
It's not Luca Turilli.
It's just some dude.
No. It's just some dude. Good job, some dude. Shout out to some dude.
He's some dude who's got like... He's like 20 years younger than Fabio.
Yeah, probably. Well, anyway, the guitarist is probably my favorite part of the song. I complain a lot about Fabio and Angra, but he's okay here.
I think the biggest issue...
I think the best part...
Be happy first.
I was going to say the best part of all this is... Yeah, let's get some positivity for 2 seconds.
Yes,
the album art that they showed, I thought was neat. It's kind of big and ugly, but it's also kind of cool because it's got like... It's like a lion and an eagle or something.
I think it's a... goosey thing.
A goosey thing.
A goosey thing?
It's like a crane or a goose.
It's like a bird and a lion, and it's like representing the two sides.
I'm trying to think of the Pokemon equivalents.
Pokemon.
A red, like an Arcanine versus a Articuno.
Yeah. Maybe.
Sure.
Are you just saying that because one's red and one's blue?
Yes.
I would say it's a swan.
That'll work.
Swan. I don't know any swan Pokemon. You know the first 150.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones that matter.
In like Gen 5 or something.
I mean, I've played the newer Pokemon games. I just can't remember anything that I caught.
You could do Pyroar. That was a lion.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That was in like Gen 6.
I'm just thinking in terms of Saint Seiya. And that looks like a swan. Like a Cygnus.
Oh,
it's like, yeah. Point is, best part of the album is the artwork.
No.
And the guitarist. Yes.
Oh, let me find the name of the guitarist, because I think the guitarist is the guy that composed the song.
Oh my God. Shout out to that guy.
Simone Mularoni.
Great job, guy.
Some Italian guy, I guess.
I assume he's Italian.
Great job, Simone.
Oh yeah. Shout out to Simone Mularoni.
That guy.
Now, the biggest issue, in my opinion, with the song is that because Fabio and Alessandro both sang for Rhapsody, they sound super samey.
Oh yeah. Sometimes without looking at the video, like, you're not sure if it's singing one of them or the other.
It's just
sometimes
like one really guy clear, but singing the same part for the whole song, but the part doesn't change in, like, you know, rhythm or like intensity or anything. It's just one guy singing very middle of the road for like 3.5 minutes.
Maybe it is one guy and they just put on their names for double the marketing.
Before we move on, though, I have this crazy idea.
Larry's fake news corner again.
Larry's fake news corner right here, boy.
I told Zelda about this the other night.
He did.
This is my crazy idea. So,
go on.
As we all know, Fabio Leone looks exactly like everyone's favorite parody singer, Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, Weird Al. Yeah.
They could be twins.
Oh yeah, you posted that picture on our Facebook page.
They could be twins. They look almost identical these days. And they're like the same age. My crazy idea. They do a collab, right?
Yeah.
And they do a music video for the single. On the left side is Fabio. On the right side is Weird Al. But
do they know of each other's existence?
Probably not.
Most likely not.
But on the... So they're both on each side. And there's like a partition in the middle of the video.
he has this whole thing planned out. Just...
Yeah.
Directed by Larry Bisson.
He told me this whole thing the other night.
Holy shit.
So Fabio sings Weird Al's parts. And they do like a lip sync. So it's actually Weird Al singing, but it looks like Fabio's singing on the left-hand side of the video.
Okay. Director
and
Biscuit.
And vice versa. Weird Al does the same thing.
You should tweet them and make this happen, because I don't think they know each other.
I think you did tweet them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they reply?
No. Not yet.
Shit.
Okay. One day. One day in like a year and a half, we'll try it again.
One day. We're going to make this happen, but you heard it first from
here. And then after the solo, they do the big, like, right in the lull that they can do because it's a music video. They can have fun with it. There's a slight lull before the closer. And then they both look at each other. And you realize the partition is literally just a line superimposed on the video. And they've been standing next to each other the entire time. They look at each other, look confused for a second, and then awkwardly switch spots and start singing their own parts again for the rest of the song. For like the last minute. Perfect idea, right?
It's a great idea. It's perfect.
You really thought over this carefully.
You did.
This was not actually a careful idea. This was a drunk spur of the moment idea. But, you know.
It was a few beers deep at this point.
That was like three in.
Oh, God.
We need to tell Weird Al about the whole thing.
But I think it's a really good idea for a music video. I think it'd be pretty funny.
Well, we'll just ask Weird Al to listen to this podcast and we'll have Weird Al as a listener.
And then there's
cool?
like a polka breakdown. Like,
obviously,
it has to be a poker.
Like, after the solo,
polka power thing, yeah.
Or like during the solo, they share it, so the guitar is like shredding, and then he's like, the guitar is shredding, and then no, he trades off. They trade off.
Oh, great.
So it's a shred and then a poker.
You need to have the accordion.
Yeah,
right. Because most power metal will do like dueling keyboard and guitar. Like Sonata Arctica will do that, but instead of keyboards, accordion.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
For sure.
Accordion.
So they
guitar.
Do like a solo beautiful. Off in the middle.
All right. Perfect. I'd love to see
perfect
this happen.
Song. It'll never happen, unfortunately.
No.
Yes, it will.
We gotta believe, man. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, you have to just keep twittering.
Yeah,
or whatever.
All 10 people who listen to this podcast, please tweet Fabio and
please.
Weird Al.
Make them know of each other's existence.
Make them know that they look identical.
Yeah, that's
I
the
think
first step.
That's,
and they need to work together.
That's the thing yes. that makes them go, oh, we should do a collab because they look the same.
We are identical. Let's meet. If you had an identical twin, wouldn't you want to meet them?
Maybe.
Mm.
You gotta destroy them.
Yeah.
Oh, there can be only one, right? Oh my god, I hope they don't kill each other.
The thing is, their singing styles are so different, and the genres of music they play are so different.
Oh my god.
I can see we're all doing a genre parody of power metal.
If they do the collab, then we can also get the polka comp of power metal, which consists mm-hmm. of Emerald Sword, Winged Hussars, Tanalorn, and something by Manowar.
Kings of Metal.
Perfect.
In polka version.
Yeah, the
version.
Polka compilation of those four songs.
That's amazing.
Has Weird Al ever parodied a metal song?
No.
I don't think
he only
has.
Does popular music.
We have so many things to tweet Weird Al. Like, we're giving him so much gold content right
yeah,
now.
I think the most metal thing that he did was Rage Against the Machine band parody style. Band style parody.
Nice.
Well, that's a shot.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Larry's okay. corner. Larry's fake news.
All right, are we outside of Larry's fake news corner?
Let's get out of Larry's. Let's leave Larry's fake news corner.
Let's leave Larry.
That's
his
my
fake news
my
corner.
Crazy idea of the week.
So, in terms of real news corner, we are somehow still talking about Fabio. Angra, a band from Brazil / Italy, is releasing a new album called Omni in February 2018. And this was announced on Facebook, which is our source for real news.
That's where they announce shit. We can't help it.
Yes, that is where they
real
announce
news
shit.
For real people.
Yes. So there's not that much known about this album. Angra is based in Brazil. And on their YouTube channel, they have a series of vlogs where they just record the band working on this album. And they just record the band going about their day-to-day life, like in the studio, brainstorming, recording some parts of the album, cooking meals, doing exercise videos on the patio. And it just reminded me a lot of Terrace House.
Oh my god.
Fucking Terrace House. Here we go again.
Oh my god.
So Terrace House is this, like, mundane but amazing reality TV show where we just watch a bunch of Japanese people go about their
by
daily
we
lives.
Mean she means her
by we I mean myself and many loyal fans but
I think one of my coworkers likes it so
yes we have at least two watchers of Terrace House but this is like watching Terrace House but with like Angra and Fabio like just hanging out on the couch getting dinner.
But will the album be good?
Playing music. I don't know. So this album is going to be the first with Marcelo Barbosa on lead guitar instead of Kiko. I'm not going to pronounce his last name because I don't know how. Kiko is now playing guitars for Megadeth, which probably pays more money than Angra.
Probably.
But there's actually not much known about this album because everything is in Portuguese and you can't really hear much from the vlogs other than like little snippets. So it's kind of hard to tell what the album would be like, but heard some drums and their drummer Bruno is this really young dude and he is like super talented. He's incredible. And like whatever guitar riffs I picked up from the background noise sounds really fantastic. So I'm excited for this album, even though I'm generally not a fan of Fabio Angra, but I still really love the music that they make.
I haven't really been fond of their stuff since like Rebirth, but I'll check it out when they drop a new one.
Here's the question. You were not excited to see them at Prague Power next year prior to this. Are you now excited? Because they will play new material, I'm sure.
It's a fans pick the set list, remember?
Yeah, but they're still going to play new material.
So I love Agra's old songs. I like listen to everything from like Angel's Cry to Rebirth to Temple of Shadows. And I even love Aqua. Oh, and I love Aurora Consurgence also. It's so good. But I just don't like Fabio performing their tracks.
Does it just feel wrong?
I just don't, it just feels wrong, and I don't like his interpretations of it. So that's why I was just like kind of not into it. But, you know, I'll give the record a shot. I think like, yeah, I think it'll be like an interesting listen either way.
Well, we can add that to the list of 2018 stuff to look forward to and then be disappointed by.
No.
I can't.
I hope not. So another album announced.
I've got something off the record.
Wait. Oh my god!
I'm sorry,
stop.
I have something off the record.
Biscuit.
Why do we even have you here?
You have
I don't
me here
know.
For off the record
who,
announcements.
Who let this guy in here?
All right, what's your off the record announcement?
Crom. You guys didn't put Crom in.
Who the fuck is Crom?
Oh shit!
You forgot
Crom.
The fuck is Crom?
Yeah.
The guy from Fire Emblem?
Yeah,
Crom's like it's like Crom from
I love that from, character from Fire Emblem.
It's not
but...
Fire Emblem, it is Conan the Barbarian. Crom is the god, and I lost
I'm
the
so
link.
Confused what's happening.
It's very
right now.
It's a very good single though.
And they're also a band, and yeah, their single is pretty good. And you should
it
give
is
a listen.
Called
This wasn't on the spreadsheet, Larry.
It's not on the spreadsheet.
Yeah, this is totally not on
the
spreadsheet. But I mean, it's a single worth listening. And Larry, you are so fired.
I should have been more prepared before I interrupted the flow.
Oh my fucking god, Darko, cut this shit.
No, keep it in.
Cut everything with Larry in it.
Keep it in.
just exile him.
Keep it in.
Except for when he talks about Fabio and Weird Al.
Crom, When Northmen Die. Is the name of the album, and it comes out on December 1st, so it's actually already out. And their single, Shields of Gold, is great.
Yeah, shout-outs to Crom.
Solid song, listen to the album, it's all over. Your regular streaming outlets.
Cool. Alright, so is that all for one-off singles? Any other, like, interruptions before we get into...
Any other interruptions?
Our final news item?
No, I'm good. Larry, are you
okay.
good?
No, I'm good.
Larry, you are the lord of interruptions.
Dark, are you good?
I'm good.
All right. So our last new album announcement we have of the day is Judas Priest, Firepower.
Judas Priest, they're still alive? What?
Yes.
Amazingly, we're getting like a new album from this legendary, it's the Red War band by now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know when was the last time they released something new.
A couple of years ago. It was pretty recent.
Oh, really?
2014, Redeemer of Souls.
Ah, that's not that long ago. Nice.
So what do we know about this this newly announced album?
It comes
album?
Out March of 2018, and Rob sounds just as young as ever.
Yep.
Yeah, Rob sounds really good for being fucking ancient.
All that we know from this album is that there is a 15-second snippet of Rob just going, Firepower! That was really
no,
bad,
it was
I'm
spot
sorry.
On.
Yeah, that was amazing. Spot on. Keep that.
I feel like we've sang more than we ever have on this episode.
I like that. We've also gone off on way more tangents than any other episode.
Yeah.
This is a long one. This is already over an hour and a half.
This is what Christmas is about.
Yeah, this is... Darko is right.
This is what you signed up for, people. You signed up for this shit.
Yeah. You signed up for, like, happy Christmas. You know, friendly...
Friendly Lord of the Rings.
Social interaction.
Friendly Lord of the Rings.
You can pretend that you're friends with us.
Friendly social interactions. That's what we're all about. So, I think that's all we have for today. If you actually stuck it out and listened to us this entire time...
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. And do you... I hope you got something out of it.
Before we go, I'm going to do a little tease.
Yes.
For next
oh
time,
God,
right?
No, not next yes. time. Next time is like end of year stuff. That's all generic. I'm doing a little tease, though. You know how I talked about Lord of the Rings a lot today, guys? We got a Lord of the Rings episode on the docket.
Oh, man.
It is something that we tossed the idea around
oh,
for.
Oh, man.
We're going to have an expert come in. and he's going to talk
expert.
About...
Do you really want to call
yeah,
him
he's
that?
An expert. He's the most expert anyone that we know about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Expert's like a positive term.
We're going to call an expert, just like the dudes on Pawn Stars. And he is going to tell us all about Nightfall and Middle-earth, and maybe some other Lord of the Rings albums.
If you think that sounds awful,
let us know.
We'll
axe it if it sounds bad.
Or if you're interested, let us know. Please give us feedback on everything, because we just kind of do this. We just do what we feel like. We don't know what people like.
Please talk to us.
And if you give us more direction, we can give you better episodes.
Yeah. And this is a dialogue between us and you guys. Also, please like and subscribe and comment and share on YouTube and Facebook and SoundCloud. And
maybe retweet.
MySpace
we are
maybe
on,
retweet our Fabio tweet.
We are on Facebook and YouTube. And don't forget to follow our Instagram, in which there's going to be a lot of Microsoft Paint album art. And we are looking to get on legit podcasting.
Syndication coming before the end of the year. Or by the end of the year.
So,
we were supposed to do it for this episode, but we didn't, so...
Actually, we did do it for these episodes, and you will find this episode and all the previous ones on iTunes, and, I don't know, wherever Simplecast throws them. And we'll have a little webpage and all the fancy stuff, and you will find the links in the description if you are on YouTube or the show notes, or probably you're listening to this on iTunes. Well, whatever, let's go back to the show.
Sorry.
So look out for that, and thank you all for listening. And we hope to catch you next time.
Yeah, next time we're thinking of doing end of the year favorites.
End of the year.
Oh, and if you have any categories to give us for end of year stuff, this is the episode will already be recorded, so don't bother telling us. Maybe tell us for next year. We'll write them down.
All right. Okay, I think we've drawn out the ending.
Yeah, let's say goodnight, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, shut up, Biscuit. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Stay powerful.
Bye, everyone.
Stay powerful. Da 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 da.